The following is a duplicate of Tape 1, Side 1, of an interview with Clara Wong, conducted for the Southern California Chinese American Oral History Project.
American Oral History Project jointly sponsored by the UCLA Asian American Studies Center and the Chinese Historical Society of Southern California. April 28, 1980, interview number 1. With Mrs. Heman Wong, conducted by Beverly Chung. Mrs. Wong, can you tell me where your parents came from?
They came from China, the province of Guangdong.
Mm-hmm. Which village do you remember?
My father's village is called Pinglok.
Chung Pinglok.
It's part in Toisan.
Could you write that down for me?
Oh, yeah.
Can you write it?
Well, Toisan, you know what that is.
Mm-hmm, yeah,
but I don't know how they write the village. I can imagine it's like, the way it sounds like this, but I'm not even sure that's right. When they tell me what it is, and I've never read it for me. So that's my father's village.
Uh-huh. And how about your name? Your Chinese name.
Oh, my Chinese name.
What is it?
Chuyo. My maiden name is also Wong, too, so I'm...
The same Wong
as my married name.
Wong.
Wong
Chuyo.
Okay.
Wong Chuyo, I see. Okay. And when did your father come here?
He came over in 1923 by himself.
How old was he then?
So I think he was, like in his late teens, I think. I'm not sure.
You don't know which year he was born?
Well, he told me he's born in like 1903 or something like that.
Mm.
I guess he's pretty close to.
About 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And he came over alone?
Yes.
Uh-huh. He was not married at that time?
No.
Mm-hmm. And what was the reason for coming here?
I think to have a better life, to earn money.
Was he a village person there? I mean, a worker in the village? Or was he of the landlord class?
I really don't know how you would classify him. I just remember he went to school in some kind of not in the village, but in a little town. And then he worked in like a herb shop when he was young, and he learned his mathematics, or he did something like bookkeeping or something like that. Mm-hmm. But I don't know what his father died when he was very young, so I don't know, you know, those things. But he told me his grandfather was here in the States during a gold rush or something.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Does he remember or does he know anything about that?
Well, that's all he's told me, that
his father must have gone back to China.
Yeah.
To get married and to have him.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah, because they were here just for a short time. I guess I don't know how it was in those days that they just come over for a short time. So, because I think his father was a scholar of some sort. They didn't work in the gold. Now, this is his grandfather. He didn't work in the gold mines, but rather he was here. He helped the people write letters to come back to China.
His grandfather
grandfather.
And his father?
And his father, I think, had worked in some kind of herb shop or something. This is all up in, I think, the San Francisco area.
He came to San Francisco?
My father settled in Los Angeles when he came, but they came through San Francisco, but he settled in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
He had relatives here, so they helped him.
And did he get married here?
No, he went back to China about 6 years later.
To be married?
Mm-hmm.
Were you born here?
I was born here.
When?
I was born in 1932.
In Los Angeles?
Uh-huh.
What was your father doing when
you were growing up. He had always worked in a produce market. Since he arrived, he worked there until he retired.
Could you describe a little what his business was like? How large it was? Where it was located?
It was in the city market. I think it's still there, down on 9th Street in San Pedro. Mm-hmm. And it was a wholesale. They call it wholesale and retail. They did business with the restaurant chain. They delivered vegetables and fruits to the restaurants, and mainly. And I remember he used to get up in the wee hours, early hours of the morning, and he worked until about like noon, and then came home. They had long hours. I was just talking to him tonight. He said they worked like 15 or 16 hours a day in those days.
Yeah. And 6 days a week, maybe?
Yes, that's right. Uh-huh. We didn't see too much of him when we were little because he was either working or sleeping. You know, he worked really
hard. Did you
hard. No, well, when we were young, let's say maybe when we were teenagers, he used to bring his books home to do. We'd help him just, you know, to keep some of his records.
Yeah. Did you have many brothers and sisters?
Mm-hmm. I have. There's seven of us children in the family.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
All girls? I mean,
we have five girls and two boys. I'm the oldest one.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
How about your mother? Does she ever work?
Not really. She, you know, she was raising us all along, and then I guess when we were a little bit older, I think she, not that she really had to go out to work, but I think there were times when she did try to get some things to do, but I think there was, when all of us were grown, I think she went to the produce market to help my father sometimes. Not that she really had to, but she wanted to do that. But in her later, really later years, she went to work in a sewing factory. Just doing lots of things. But that's just in the last few years.
Then, I see, much later.
She didn't work really.
I see. Okay, tell me a little bit about your childhood growing up in LA.
What was it like?
Where did you grow up? Did you grow up around 9th Street?
In the central Los Angeles. We were not in 9th Street, we were a little further south. We were in the 22nd Street area, where there are a lot of Chinese families there.
Uh-huh.
And, I guess
it was it a house you lived in? You
lived
owned
in
the house?
No, we didn't own our house. We rented it.
Mm-hmm. Was it because you couldn't buy a house because of your ethnic background?
No, that wasn't the reason. I don't know, because my father and his cousin were partners, and I guess, and he owned the two houses, so he just, you know,
let
him rent. Well, I guess very reasonable. Very reasonable.
I see. How many employees did your father and your cousins market have?
Maybe during the really booming years. I mean, they had like. I mean, this is what I can recall, but I don't know how accurate this information is. About maybe about five.
Mm-hmm. And what was the name of this their business?
Well, the place is called Chuck Produce in Los Angeles City.
Is that your father's cousin's name?
That's what they used. Uh-huh. That name. Uh-huh.
And did he ever tell you how he got into the produce business or why he got into it?
Well, his cousin was already in the business when he came. My
mm-hmm.
father came.
Mm-hmm.
So he, you know, he invited him to help.
Did he come with money? Or did he come
my father? I really don't know. He, I don't think so, because he wasn't able to buy into a business or anything. He just,
so he worked for you?
Yeah.
For his
And
pretty soon he was able to earn enough money to.
They were very thrifty in those days. Well, I think it took many years before he became a partner.
Okay. And between 1932 and 1945, in other words, the first 12, 13 years of your life, what was it like? Did you learn to speak Chinese, for instance?
Well, I was talking to my kids the other day, and I think when I went to school, and I'm a kindergarten, I didn't know how to speak English. Because my parents only spoke Chinese to me. And
Taishan, right?
Yes, right.
Oh, they call it Sei.
Sei up or Taishan. So, you know, but I didn't feel anything unusual about it. You know, we just, you know, just accepted that I went to school, and even though I couldn't really say too much to the teacher, I just felt I was too shy, rather than it's because I didn't know how to speak English. But
you really didn't know?
Didn't know, because my exposure to other kids were not too much either, you know, the neighborhood kids.
They were all Chinese women?
Well, I had my cousins living next door to us, and they were about our age, you know, and things like that. So we all spoke Chinese, you know, so we didn't know a whole lot. Maybe we knew, you know, a few words here and there.
The neighborhood that you lived in, was it a predominantly Chinese neighborhood?
Well, I think when I was young, it was probably pretty mixed. I wasn't that aware. I think by the time I got to junior high school, I think there were many black people in the neighborhood, because the junior high school that I went to was, like, in some of my classes, I was the only Chinese and the whole class was black. So, you know, by that time, that was splitting. I was in junior high school about 45.
Yeah.
So that by that time it had changed into a lot of blacks.
But did it start out being, say, half Chinese, half white?
I can't remember a whole lot of Caucasians ever being around our neighborhood. I remember there were a few families here and there.
Uh-huh.
But I don't remember.
Were there any Mexicans?
Yeah, I think there were some Mexicans like, you know, across the street, I just remember it was a black family, and next door to the corner was a black family. Mm-hmm. Next door to our house was a black family. And then the other side, there was a Chinese and a couple of Chinese. So maybe it was mainly Chinese and black.
Mm-hmm. And you went to kindergarten, did you say?
Uh-huh.
How old were you then?
I was 5 years old, I guess. Whatever it's supposed to be, 5.
And what was the ethnic composition of your kindergarten, which I presume is around your neighborhood?
Yeah. I think there were a lot of Mexicans and I think Caucasians, Chinese, and there were Japanese at that time until they were interned. I guess when I went to, the war started when I was in grade school, so
that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember the depression?
Only what my parents tell me, because I mean it was...
You didn't feel it?
No, I mean, we're always telling our kids, you know, how it was when we were little, we didn't have this and that, but I guess at that time we didn't feel deprived.
Just 3 years after the depression,
right, uh-huh.
And technically that was still the depression.
Yes, it was. Uh-huh. But I never felt really deprived, even though I think we were considered poor, probably.
Mm-hmm.
But I never felt that we had to go without anything in it. Well, we just never
what
had...
What was your house like? What sort of things did it have? Did it have a radio and a refrigerator,
uh-huh.
Vacuum cleaner, something? Uh-huh. A color TV.
We had a TV.
A black and white TV.
Shortly after it came, we didn't get one of the first ones, but after it came out, maybe a couple of years when we got a TV, and we had
before 45, what sort of things did you
have? I think we had a radio. We had one radio, one of those big console type radios. I mean, that's about it. Well, a vacuum cleaner. We probably didn't have much carpets around the house. As I remember, we had a refrigerator when my brother was born. That was in like 36, I think, we got our first refrigerator. Before that, we had an ice box.
Oh,
you know, the ice man used to come and give us a big cube of ice. You know?
That was until 36?
I think so. I recall my mother saying we got our refrigerator and when my brother was born.
Did your mom speak English at all?
She was very studious. She always took the opportunity to learn whenever she could. And in those days, there were some churches that used to send ladies out to the home to teach, you know, the women Chinese. So
teach them English.
Excuse me, yes, English. I remember when I was young that there were, you know, several ladies that came to the house to help her learn English.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was always learning because she wanted to learn.
She could.
She never became very fluent.
But she was able to communicate on a day-to-day level.
Not that well, because when we used to go shopping, you know, like downtown, she always wanted us to go along with her and interpret. But she could have gotten by. Mm-hmm. I think she could have.
And your father?
Well, my father, when he first came, he said he went to like a year and a half of school. I think they used to have these foreign student classes when he came. So I remember, I think he attended a junior high school at that time that had the program. He went for about a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And then he picked up, I think, the rest of it just working.
So, were his clients mostly Chinese?
No, his clients were, you know, restaurant people. You know, the big restaurants, he was telling me, they're out in Hollywood and downtown and all those restaurants. So he
supplied restaurants mostly.
Yes, I think that was the main thing.
And presumably with vegetables and fruits.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. So he must have had quite a bit of communication.
Yes.
No Chinese. He never supplied Chinese restaurants. Very seldom supplied Chinese restaurants.
Very few. I think in the later years when there were, I don't think he ever did any business at the Chinatown restaurants, but some of the restaurants that were out in West Los Angeles, I think he did supply a few of them after a while.
American restaurants?
No, Chinese. There were a couple out here, I remember.
So there are already Chinese restaurants in
West Oh, maybe South? Not in 1945, though.
Mm-hmm.
This is later,
I can remember.
But I remember he was doing, he said in Hollywood there were some great big restaurants they did a lot of business with. And some of the actually pretty famous restaurants in those days. They did business.
Do you remember any?
Well, one of them was Perino's. Now, in those days, I don't know how far back Perino's were. They did business with them, and there was one called, is it Victor Hugo or something? I don't know. He used to mention some of these, but I can't. But there was one, I remember he mentioned in Hollywood that all the stars she used to go to and all.
Perino's was definitely quite famous. When did he get rid of his business?
When he retired. Yeah, I remember it's maybe something
50s, 60s?
I believe it was in the 60s. Maybe
when you went to school, was it once again a neighborhood school?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You always lived between 32 and 45, you always lived down there at the same place.
Yeah.
22nd Street.
Right, uh-huh.
Okay. But the neighborhood gradually became predominantly black.
Right, I know. I went to this school that was predominantly black, and most of my friends, you know, they all wanted to go to this other school that was supposed to be better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how some of the people, they, you know, took false addresses and tried to change over.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I tried to change over by, you know, trying to get a permit and to go, but I never was able to.
Oh.
And so I, you know, graduated from
Wait, what's the name of the junior high school?
The junior high school is called Lafayette Junior High School.
Lafayette. And your elementary school?
San Pedro Street School.
Oh, mm-hmm. I see. I would presume your elementary school would have a lot of Chinese in it.
There were,
everybody around there were.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Still, it wasn't, I don't remember my classes. I mean, they're not anything like, say, Castellar Street, you know, where they're all Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't anything like that. I mean, there were a few in each class Chinese, but it wasn't.
Who were the rest of the people?
I think some Mexicans and a few blacks. I know there were some Filipinos and Caucasians.
Did you get along with the other groups?
I don't remember not getting along with them. I don't think I had any really good friends with very many of them.
Yeah, you played mostly with Chinese.
Yeah, at home.
How long did it take before you were able to speak?
speak English fluently. I don't think it took very long. I don't remember not being able to communicate with the teacher for very long.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think maybe after one semester of school, maybe at least able to communicate.
Did your parents send you to Chinese school?
Yes, we went, but much later. We didn't go until I think when I was in junior high school. So it's
around 1945.
Yeah, we're pretty close to. Oh well, we did have some lessons at home. We had like a tutor, a relative of ours, you know, taught us Chinese at home. So we did that for a year or so.
During your
before we went to the Chinese school.
Around what, fifth grade?
Yeah.
Did you remember what sort of things you were taught and how many students there were?
When I was at home or when I went to school?
At home.
At home, well, it was my brothers and sisters and my cousins. Only there was about five or six of us.
Uh-huh.
And we just read from those books he gave us, and all we did was read and, you know, japchi, you know, learn penmanship.
Yeah, right.
That was the main thing. We just did penmanship and we learned words.
Uh-huh. And your Chinese character seems to be quite
I don't know.
Good. How long did you go to Chinese school?
Oh, to then
afterwards, after you finished with the private tutor and started going to
the Chinese school. This is the church Chinese school that was
Methodist church?
The Presbyterian. It was on Adams Boulevard, East Adams. Mm-hmm. We walked about like four blocks.
Mm-hmm.
And that was every day. And in the beginning, we used to go on Saturdays.
From 4 to 8?
Oh no, it was like 4:30 to 6:30, something like that. And it was more
Saturday too.
For a while, it wasn't always Saturdays.
Uh-huh.
And then it was more fun going to Chinese school. You know, we didn't really learn that much. You know, we'd go there to play and to be with our friends.
You mean they didn't actually have a class?
Oh yes, we had classes, but you know our learning was like, you know how they teach us to read and we would speak to the teachers in English, you know. When we asked the question, we didn't use Chinese, we asked in English.
And the teacher responded in English?
And so, most of the time, I think, or they tried not to, but,
what was the teacher like? Was it a member of the church? A man or a woman?
Well, the pastor of the church taught, and then one of the principals that was there when I was there was a graduate of SC, I think.
It was a bona fide school.
Yes, I think so.
The principal was.
And teacher, well, there were nine grades. The first two, you know, the first six grades and then the three grades. Chaochung.
Do you think that was very commonplace at that time, sending children to Chinese school?
Yes, most of my friends were.
When would they start going? Junior high school also?
Well, I think some of them started earlier because I started in junior high and I started in the fourth grade in Chinese school, but see, they had first grade, so I imagine they're younger when they started. So.
And you started with fourth grade Chinese because of your private tutor.
Mm-hmm.
And so you were able to learn a lot at home because you skipped three grades.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Did you like it? How did you feel toward Chinese?
Oh, I think we had fun. I mean, we just enjoyed it. We just took everything like, you know. I mean, we never disliked it, you know.
Did any one of you question why you have to go to Chinese school on top of the regular school hours?
Well, I myself didn't, but I guess I enjoyed school. I think my brothers, they enjoyed going. It was fun to be with their friends and all that, but they didn't do too well, you know. I did flunk the grade and stay in there several years.
I see. They actually had a system for grading.
Yeah. We had report cards and they passed us from year to year.
Did
graduation.
You
oh yes. I can't remember how much it was. So it's very nominal. Considering maybe like $3 or $4 a month. I don't remember something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And those teachers were all like part-time teachers. Sometimes they were students. You know.
Did you go in the summer as well?
No.
What did
the kids do in the summers.
When you were growing up, when you were four,
I think we
five,
just played off them. I don't remember because we didn't have summer school.
Did you ever go join any, say, Girl Scouts and things of that sort?
Yeah, we had a Girl Scout troop at our church, but that was later also.
After 45?
Let's see. Probably around 45.
I thought Girl Scouts started when you were around 10 or 11.
I think in those days, they called it Girl Scouts in junior high school, I think. I think now they're
Brownies.
Brownies and Girl
Scouts. Brownies, yeah, and Girl Scouts. Mm-hmm. That's true, yeah. Mm-hmm. So you were not part of any Brownie organization. Mm-hmm. Did you join any kind of social organization?
Well, I think most of our activities were with the church, too.
Your parents belonged to the Presbyterian Church?
Not at that time.
Mm-hmm.
They sent us because, friends invited us. So we went.
Mm-hmm.
That was, I think, mainly with the church and Chinese school. That was our main activity.
You became a church member.
Mm-hmm. I did, and then later on my brothers and sisters also joined.
Mm-hmm. You associated mostly with Chinese background?
Yes, for my close friends, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any friends who are non-Chinese?
Who were
when
at
you
that
were
time? Mm-hmm. I don't think so. I mean, I worked with them at school and things like
and
that.
And you spoke Chinese with the your Chinese
no,
friends?
No, we all spoke English.
I see. But you spoke Chinese with your parents,
mm-hmm.
and not even with your brothers and sisters.
I think when we were really little, we spoke Chinese with each other. But I think once we started school, we started using English.
And later on, you said you even started using English with your parents?
Well, it's sort of a half and half thing later on. You lose your Chinese, and you have to start using sort of a mixture.
They understood.
We tried to just inject words here and there that they could understand, I think.
But they always responded in Chinese, I assume.
Yes, I think we still speak to them in Chinese. But that's more natural
for them.
Uh-huh. And for us to speak to them.
Mm-hmm. So you feel that you're more of a Chinese?
I feel more of a
Chinese. Did you ever use any herbal medicine at home? Do you remember?
Mm-hmm. We did. We used a lot of it.
Your mom?
Oh, yes.
And did you, in turn, later on, when you started your own family?
Oh, yes. We used the, what do you call the, over-the-counter type of stuff, the Chinese packages and things.
The teas and all that. Uh-huh.
But when we were little, we used to go to the herbalist and he'd give us these mixtures and you boil it for several hours and
drink.
Uh-huh. It worked for us.
What kind of illnesses did
you have? Just like maybe the flu or something like that.
Nothing serious.
Mm-hmm.
Did anyone of you say have go to a Western doctor ever? American doctor?
Not really. We had a family doctor, the one that delivered us. And maybe only for a shot or something, like immunization or something.
Were you born in the hospital?
No, we were born at home. All my brothers and sisters are born at home except for my youngest sister, who was born in a hospital. She wasn't born until 46.
Okay.
Later again.
Is that the way most Chinese women preferred it?
I don't know. That's what they preferred. Or maybe it was less expensive that way. I'm not sure. But we just didn't question it. That's the way that was done.
Yeah.
Although my husband was born in that hospital. This is in San Francisco.
How old was he? In other words, in which year was he born?
He was born in 1930.
Do your mom prefer any kind of recreation in particular?
Really?
Yeah.
By your father. Did he have any time for recreation?
Not then, at that time. He enjoyed, I guess, playing. I noticed they had mahjong as well. They enjoyed that. And, you know, he worked most of the time.
Yeah. But was there much of any social between your family and other families, other Chinese families?
As a family unit. If you're speaking of that period of time, no.
When you were growing up?
No.
Then later on there was?
After they retired, we do a lot of that. And when all the children grew up, now we do a lot of that. But at that time, I just remember he was just working. He worked 6 days a week. Well, see, when he stopped working 6 days, and there was, you know, a time when he didn't have to work Saturdays, and there was more time to do things. But when he was working 6 days, then on Sunday he'd be doing the books at home.
Oh,
and then
take him a whole day to do it?
Oh, probably.